the gospel program in which we seek by God's help to turn your thoughts from the material things of time and sense to meditate on the great God of the universe who deserves our worship and thanksgiving. In these days of speed and tension, it is so necessary for us to quiet our hearts before our gracious God and allow Him to speak to us. I trust that you will receive a blessing as you listen to this gospel program in which we shall seek to bring the claims of Christ to your attention. This is Welcome Detweiler speaking and asking you to relax and listen.
Shoulders of the preacher is to awaken and to arrest the attention of the careless, indifferent person who tries to get through life without God, without Christ, totally lost. In everyday affairs, we believe in giving fair warnings of dangerous places. We believe that all railroad grade crossings should be equipped with proper signals. We believe that open ditches should be marked by flares or barricades to protect the public. Strange as it may seem, there are always a few well-meaning but ignorant people who don't think that the preacher should ever mention the dangers of living and dying without being saved. The greatest preacher that ever lived was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was constantly interested in reaching lost sinners that were sound asleep in their sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, we are told why men and women are content to remain in a lost condition. Listen to these verses. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. To be lost and to be content to remain so is not a reasonable thing. But Satan has the power to blind the mind and to rearrange the thinking of a lost person to the extent that being lost becomes a very trifling thing and demands no serious consideration. A lost person is one who has never been saved, one who has not entered into the benefits of God's gracious provision of salvation. Men do not become lost because of anything they do. They remain lost because of what they do not do. Only Adam and Eve became lost because of what they did, and in them the whole human family plunged into a lost condition. When Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit, they died spiritually. Their sins separated them from God, and this is the sad condition of every sinner by nature. He is living at an ugly distance, somewhat reluctant to approach God because of a keen consciousness of sin. The lost are said to be without Christ, having no hope, without God in the world. I wonder if men and women who are lost fully realize the seriousness of being lost. I fear that the subtle enemy of souls has kept lost people so busy in all kinds of activity to keep them from realizing the solemn issues that are involved when a person is lost. I deeply appreciate the fact that many people are honest about the matter and without hesitation confess that they are lost. But at the same time, I fear that many are utterly ignorant of the consequences. For when a man gets his eyes opened to see what it means to be lost, he soon becomes alarmed and becomes interested in being saved. It's a dreadful thing to be lost, to have the wrath of God abiding on you, to perish in your sins. You'll never get over it. You may be the victim of much trouble, but the worst that can happen to you has not happened yet. But it will happen if you continue on in your lost condition. Sometimes I wonder how people can continue on year after year with condemnation hanging over their heads. But my text answers that question by suggesting, Satan, the god of this world, has blinded or veiled the minds of the lost people so that they are no longer sensitive to its grim realities. The devil is the only god that Christless men know. They are led like captives at his will. There are some who even deny the existence of Satan, who are nevertheless daily under his power. His business is to veil or blindfold the minds of lost people. He does this by offering his subjects toys and tinsels, and anything that keeps the mind occupied, and for this very reason, lost people are very restless. They must be on the go. When lost people hear the gospel, it seems only a little more than a fairy tale, because their minds are blinded. When Christ is lifted up as the only Savior of sinners, the lost man considers him only as a good man, dying for a good cause. You may raise the question, why do some lost people get their eyes opened and others do not? I think I can answer that by saying that God by His Spirit awakens every slumbering sinner at some time or another. And those who are honest, accept the seriousness of the issue and turn to Christ for salvation. The man who ignores the awakening of the Holy Spirit loves his sins and does not want to be saved. If you are still lost, I tell you seriously, tenderly, earnestly, the reason you are lost is because you do not want to be saved. There is no such thing as a person wanting to be saved and remaining lost. The fact that you are still lost is the proof that being lost does not appear to be very serious. It's not a matter of not being able to believe the gospel. It's a matter of not wanting to believe it. You may not appreciate my frankness on this matter. You might be more comfortable if your lost condition was never mentioned. And I know that the devil does not want people to read the scriptures which expose his cunning methods. The moment a person comes to the place where he desires the will of God above all else, that person will have no difficulty in believing the simple message of the gospel. And that brings me to the second scripture that uses the word lost. It's found in Luke 19:10. These words fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here are 16 monosyllable words which bring before us a great sermon. First of all, the purpose for which Christ came into the world. A number of years ago, a European prince came to the United States and spent quite a few months here. Questions soon arose regarding his coming. Some thought he might have come for his health's sake. Others had a suspicion he came to see how our form of government was working out. Others felt as though he was a spy and had unfriendly motives. And to this day, the mystery of his visit has not been solved. But not so with the visit which Christ made to this world. For our text clearly reveals the purpose of his coming, to seek and to save that which was lost. In spite of this clear declaration, there are still those, and reason the purpose of his coming, and of course, they will say he came as an example to show people how to live. This is partly true, for he did come to show saved people how to live, but he did not come to be an example to the sinner. The sinner has to be saved by grace and grace alone. Notice for whom he came, that which was lost. And I would like to emphasize these four words, for he only came to seek and to save that which was lost. No man can claim he is saved unless he can first of all prove that he has been lost. Let me say to you, radio friend, if you have never been lost, you cannot claim that you are saved, for there is no promise in the Bible that Christ came to save anyone but the lost. The Lord Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This truth is illustrated in the threefold parable in Luke 15. The shepherd left the 99 self-righteous sheep and risked his life for the one that was lost. And the Lord Jesus, the true shepherd, is more interested in one sinner who realizes he or she is lost than the whole world of self-righteous religious churchgoers. Perhaps you have heard the story of the old colored man who said, I'd like to become a Christian, but I dread the process. What he meant was the humiliating process of confessing that human effort is all in vain and I'm only a helpless, lost sinner left to the grace and mercy of a righteous God. I wonder if he has sought and found you. If not, it may be your fault. He came into the world for that purpose, and he has found all who will seek him and who will want him as Lord and Savior.
You wandered away from your father's care, heavy-hearted and do you long. There's a sweet gentle voice calling now to you, wandering child, oh, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Wandering
child,
why
longer,
longer? Tis thy father in me. Wandering child,
come home. Is your braille mark adrift on my changing sea? Are you tossed on its billows and foam? There's a safe home waiting for you, wandering child, wandering child. Oh, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Wandering child,
wandering child, child, longer, longer.
Tis thy
father and me. As he bids you no longer to roam, to the dear Father's house, haste without delay, wandering child, oh, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Child, come home.
Wandering child,
why
longer?
Is
thy
father.